Hashem, we thank you for your goodness. You are indeed a good God. You're faithful. You're holy. God, as we read in the readings today, holy, worthy. God, the angels in heaven, Lord, before your throne, the elders, they're crying out, Yomam v'layla, day and night, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. God, you're worthy. You're so awesome, God, glorious. And yet you reach down to us, mere human beings, God, in all of our frailties. And you love us, and you lavish your love upon us. And you choose to be enthroned on our praises. And we're just so grateful for who you are, God. And for your presence in our midst as we gather together. And I thank you that you have a word to speak to our hearts today. Give us ears to hear. And a heart willing to obey. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. The message today is entitled, Overcoming the Hassles of Life. Today we read the 53rd out of the 54 parshiot of our yearly cycle. The last one will be read on Simchat Torah, which we will celebrate on Wednesday, October the 3rd. So I want to say, parents, please bring your children so they can see the rolling of the scroll, which is an amazing activity to participate in, and they get to see, you know, the Hebrew scroll that hopefully one day they will be reading from, or they have already read from. We had to become a bar and bat mitzvah already this year. And we want to remind them of how sweet the Word of God is, right? The Scriptures say that it is sweet like honey, right? And as I prayed over Gabriel, you know, there's so much in our world and so much that our kids are exposed to who are in the public school system and colleges that is contrary to God's word and bashes the word of God, and they need to understand how powerful the word of God, that it's true and that it's sweet like honey. So we don't give honey to the kids, but we sure do give a lot of sweets. So the covenant be a part, so encourage parents, you know, to bring them out. So today I want to speak from the Haftorah reading found in Shmuel Bet 2 Samuel, and Evan didn't know he was going to be preaching from this, and I didn't know he was going to select that to share briefly from in his Devar Torah. The Torah Parsha recalls a song of Moshe at the end of his life. And the Haftorah records what many believe to be a song of David at the end of his life. Now, we're not going to take the time to read the entire chapter, which is 51 verses, although I did think about it. But I just want to read a summary that was written by one author, so we just get a gist of the whole chapter. But if you haven't read it for this Shabbat, I'd encourage you this afternoon, this evening, sit down and take time to read through the Parsha for this week. So just to summarize it, though, the author said, David's song expresses gratitude to God for saving him from all his enemies. He starts with the famous words, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." He goes on to describe the pain and hardships he encountered and reiterates that he always turned to God in his moments of distress. He recounts God's reaction to those who tormented him. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High gave forth his voice, and he sent out arrows, and he scattered them, lightning, and he discomfited them. "I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them," he says. The king attributes his salvation to his uprightness and following God's ways. "The Lord rewarded me," and the song ends with David's expressions of thankfulness. "Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and to your name I will sing praise." And he gives great salvation to his kings. So that's a summary of this chapter here, this song of David. And there's a lot to unfold in this chapter. And there's not enough time in today's message to go verse by verse or even section by section. So I'm just going to highlight a few verses to explore and understand the truth that God wants to encourage our hearts with today. You know, David was a man that many of us can relate to. I think we can relate to him for a lot of reasons. One, he had his own foibles. He made a lot of mistakes. And we can relate to that because anyone here never make a mistake? Yeah, of course. We all make mistakes, so we can relate to that. David had family problems, right? He had in-law problems, right? He had problems with his wife. He had problems with his children, you know, so we can relate, you know, to that. He had problems at work, right? He had, you know, he was like the commander, the supervisor. He had those underneath him, his officials who went and did things without him knowing and took matters into his own hands and created a lot of problems at the workplace, in other words, in the kingdom. So we can relate to these things because who hasn't had a few problems at work? Anyone ever have no problems at work? Even we here at Beth Emanuel, we work at the synagogue. You get problems, right, in every area of our life. So we can relate to him. He had a lot of different things that he had to face. He experienced many hassles, in other words, problems, troubles, and difficulties. And yet he overcame each one of them. And in this song, he declares how he overcame those obstacles and those difficulties and hard seasons of life, and gives thanks to Adonai for helping him. So before I dive into these verses, I just want to share something that Adonai has quickened to my heart this year about the power of testimonies. I was sharing this with Tim on Yom Kippur, but I was listening to a congregational leader who wrote a book about healing, and I was listening to him earlier this year, so his comments were in the context of healing. But he shared how when we hear a testimony, that testimony is meant to encourage us that what Adonai did for that person, he can do the same for us. And so why do I share that before I look at this passage? Because this song is really a testimony from David of what God did in his life. And God wants to encourage you that what he did for David, he can do for you as well. So you might have in-law problems. You might have problems with your children. You might have problems with a co-worker. You might have difficulties in this area or that area. But like God helped David to overcome those problems and obstacles, God wants to help you. So no matter what enemy is attacking you, no matter what struggle you're wrestling with, no matter the difficulty, he's there to help you overcome. So let's look at a few of these verses. Again, it's not going to be the whole chapter because that would take us all afternoon. And but let's start with verse 1. And in this verse, we need to know that God delivers us from our enemy. It says, David, in the words of this song to Adonai, on the day Adonai delivered him from the power of all his enemies and from the power of Sheol. We know very well how often Sheol, the king, sought to kill David. But David had a lot of other enemies, as I said, from his even within his own family to his people under him who were supposed to be his trusted and most loyal servants and workers and commanders. So he had a lot of people who sought to undermine his authority, to undermine his position, to just to come against him. So do you and I have an enemy? Yes. We do. And I want to encourage you, it's not the person sitting beside you. It's not the co-worker who sometimes drives you crazy. And it's not that politician whose views you cannot stand. Don't worry, I'm not going to get political, just to say that. Because we make enemies of flesh and blood. We have one enemy, and his name is Hasatan and his forces of darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." That's the enemy of all of us. And that's not new. We preached about that before, but we need to be reminded about it, because when you have a hassle that you're going through, when you have an obstacle, you know, it's easy to look to someone to blame for what's going on in your life. And usually we blame the people who are closest to us, right? So our spouses get blamed, our kids get blamed, the person working with us gets blamed. You know, we blame the politician for things not happening in the country, like whatever. We find someone to blame, and it's easy to blame flesh and blood because we see them, and it's, you know, my husband's right in front of me, so obviously, you know, if he had done something better, we wouldn't be in this situation or mess. But the scripture tells us that that's not who we wrestle against. It's powers and authorities of darkness. And what is an enemy's purpose? To harm us? To defeat us? To make our life miserable? And ultimately to destroy us? Look with me at verses 5 and 6. Here it says, "For death's breakers were closing over me. The floods of Belial," or currents of destruction is another way to translate that, "terrified me. The ropes of Sheol were wrapped around me, and the snares of death lay there before me." One of the greatest tactics of our enemy is fear. And again, we did not coincide our notes together, but Evan talked about this in his last point of his Devar Torah, and I think it's a God thing. Because I am convinced that the spirit of fear hovers over this generation like never before. Anxiety and worry attack our young people regularly. I was shopping in Walmart for something for Junior Shabbat, and I'm looking for something, and I overhear, because it's very loud, two men talking, and one man is talking about his daughter. And, you know, the anxiety that she suffered with, and for 2 years, you know, they had to put her into a special place to help her, a special type of school, and that this was her first year going back into public school, and just, you know, I just was caught off listening to this. And I have talked to so many different parents with kids from, you know, kindergarten through college, who tell me how their children often express anxiety that they're experiencing. And even David said here in this passage, "I was terrified of my enemy that was attacking me." And, you know, parents, I want to encourage you, teach your children the truth of the scripture so that they can withstand the attacks of the evil one. And you do warfare on behalf of your children in this area, because it's just really something that, you know, I see so regularly and hear so regularly that I think I know it's a spiritual. It's too many young people are overwhelmed. I've never seen this to this magnitude as what I see and hear today. And help them to apply these principles. And when you look at what David is saying here, it gets a vivid imagery of this destructive water and these ropes like ensnaring him, you know, like around his neck. This paint this picture of great distress as his enemy is pressing hard against him. And let me just go back to parents again. This is all extra. Hell always attacks the younger generation. Okay? We see it with in Shemot, with the babies, right? We see it, you know, with Yeshua. We see it with Hadassah. We see it with the young people going into captivity with Daniel and his friends. Attacks them in a lot of different ways. Tries to destroy them, to kill them, and right in the days of Moshe. In the book of Daniel, he tries to get them to assimilate and to compromise the truth of the word. So understand that the enemy is after your children. Okay? And you are the keeper of the gate in your home. You know, even if your kid is older like mine, and they're already in college and things, I still pray and war for my children regularly, all right? You need to take serious your role as a spiritual covering over your children. And even for those who have children who are married and have their own families now, you may say, "Well, Rabbi Carol, they're adults now." I don't care. I would pray like crazy for them, okay? You know, my children, you know, I will always be their mom. And, you know, and as a mother, I'm going to act like a mother, and I'm going to pray like a mother, okay? So I just really feel to encourage us as parents, take seriously our responsibility over our children. Because the younger generation is always a part of the new move of God. And God always wants to move in every generation, okay? He always wants to bring fresh revival, fresh outpouring of His Spirit, okay? And this has nothing to do with the notes of my message, but I really feel we need to hear this. And if we don't protect and usher our children into that place of His presence, the generation will pass without knowing the goodness of God and without knowing the presence of God and without knowing the anointing and the revival. So parents, fight for your children and teach them to fight for themselves. It's the best thing that you can do. So back to our passage here. So David's describing this vivid picture of how horrendous hell was against him and how distressed he was. And again, he even felt fearful. He says, I was terrified because of the pressure and the enemy coming against me. But, he says, God delivered him from all the power of the enemy. From how much of the power? All the power. Mikaf kol oivav, from all the power of the enemy. What truth does Al and I want us to glean from this? What encouragement does he want to speak to our hearts today? That his deliverance is complete. I've said this before, God doesn't do a half job. Okay? He's not going to partially help you in this situation. It says he delivered David from all of his enemies. God wants to do a complete work of deliverance in whatever situation you are facing today. The Hebrew word for deliver is a common word, hitzil, and it means to save or rescue. However, when you start looking at the root meaning, it has this connotation of snatching something. So it's like God says, I'm going to snatch you out of the hands of the enemy. I'm going to snatch you out of that situation. Each time he does it differently, right? When we look through the scriptures of the different ways he delivered people, like I spoke of Daniel. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. And God just supernaturally shut those lions' mouth and they couldn't eat him. But he opened their mouths after Daniel came up and they ate somebody else. Just saying, right? So however God chooses to deliver us, you know, we don't need to dictate that. We just need to believe that he will deliver us from how many of our enemies? All of our enemies, all of our distress, all of our problems, all the obstacles and hassles and problems and anxieties and fears and everything else that you are facing today, God wants to deliver you from every single one. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. Here we're encouraged that Adonai is our stronghold and refuge, and Evan spoke on this, and a few weeks ago I spoke from Tehillim 46, which was on this topic, so I don't want to repeat the same message here. But I believe Adonai wants to remind us that he is that strong tower that we can run into and find safety. In the midst of every storm that you're in the midst of every struggle, you can find shelter in his presence. That peace that passes all understanding can saturate our minds and our hearts. We just need to be those, right? Remember the scripture I said, the righteous run into the tower, right, into his name. The Lord's name is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So I want to encourage you with that principle. If you didn't hear that message on Tehillim 46, go back and listen to it on the podcast. Thank you to Randy for putting those up every week. And if you're listening on podcast now, go back and hear that message because it's all about him being that stronghold and refuge. So let's go on to verse 7. Verse 7 says that we need to cry out to Adonai when the enemy attacks. This is how we overcome these obstacles. He says, in my distress, I called to Adonai. Yes, I called to my God. Out of his temple, he heard my voice and my cry entered his ears. One article I was reading on this verse said that the distress not only comes from an actual enemy coming against us, but it also comes from circumstances that we find ourselves in, just life in general, and from personal affliction that could take place in our bodies and in our minds and in our emotions. So I want to encourage you that in whatever distress you may be in, you may be, you know, feeling the pressure of hell against you, it could be just life is wearing away at you, that call out to God in the midst of that distress. You see, friend, and so often, this is the problem, and this is why we don't overcome our obstacles. So often, we don't cry out to God. We'll pick up the phone and text somebody about the problem. We'll post it all over Facebook and social media. Selah. But we don't take the time to cry out to God. Now, I have no problem with picking up the phone and crying and calling to someone. I had a very difficult day when Michael was gone down in Dallas last time, and hell was really beating against me and the children, and I did pick up the phone and reached out to my siblings who are believers and said, you need to pray right now. I said, it's hellish right now. And later reached out to the leadership. So, but I was crying out to God myself as well. So there's nothing wrong with reaching out to people for help. And if you want to post your problems on Facebook, go for it. You know, but don't ignore crying out to God. Okay? So, because he's the one who's going to ultimately help you. So if that friend is a friend who's going to cry out to God with you, then reach out to them. Like my siblings immediately begin to pray. And I felt the prayer immediately. And so did my kids. Immediately felt the prayer because they were crying out to God. That's the type of friends you want, not a friend who's going to commiserate with you and tell you, oh, you know, you need to give that coworker a piece of your mind and tell them, you know, where the sun don't shine, right? Or, you know, not that you should ever be talking about your spouse to someone, and I know nobody does that. You really shouldn't. But you have that person you tell, and they join in, and they start bashing your spouse. Mm-mm-mm, not good. Come to our couples thing tonight. That's not the type of friend you need. You need a friend who says, I'm going to call out to God, and God's going to intervene and move in this situation. Okay? That's what David did. He cried out to God. Did he seek help? Yeah, sometimes he went to the prophet Nathan because he knew that he was going to cry out to God on his behalf. Cry out to God in your distress. You know, look at me, everyone. Sometimes I think this is what you need to do. You need to get into your room, shut the door, and just cry out like you've never cried out before. I mean, just let it rip. Just cry out to God. God, this is what is going on in my life. This is the situation I'm facing. This is happening with my children. This is happening with my spouse. This is what's going on at work. This is what's going on in my country. Whatever the thing is that is distressing you, that is causing you problems, that obstacle, you need to cry out to God with everything that is in you. Because ultimately, as I said, he alone is the answer. He may use other people in your life, but he is the answer. But this verse doesn't just end with David crying out to God. It tells us that Adonai heard him. It talks about God being in the temple, which implies that David was not there. And one writer says that this encourages us that there is no distance that Adonai cannot cover. So it's good to cry out to God when you're here in the sanctuary. You know, and I've spent a lot of extra time here this week. And you know, I was here early Monday at 7, so I had my devotions here, so I did a lot of crying here, and it's good. I love to be in the house of God. I've shared this before. You know, when I was a young person, we lived right around the corner from the congregation that that I attended, and somehow, as a young teenager, I had a key, and I used to go up there all the time, just open the unlock and go in and sit in the sanctuary. I just loved to be in there and in God's presence and sharing my heart, you know, with him. But you don't always have access to the actual sanctuary here. But the good news is you don't have to. God hears you no matter where you're at, and he wants to respond to you. So we need to cry out with confidence that he will answer us. You know, when David cried out to Adonai, he was not surprised that God heard him and answered him, because he had a track record with God. This was the God who delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear. He was seeking help from the one who delivered Goliath into his hand. So I wanted to encourage you to call out to Adonai from your situation with that same confidence. Confidence that he is a prayer-answering God. Don't cry out to God with doubt and unbelief. Because Yaakov tells us, James tells us, the man that is unstable, wavering back and forth between doubt and unbelief in his prayers, don't think you're going to get an answer to it. But be confident. Not in your prayers, okay? It's not my prayers, it's not your prayers, but it's the prayer-answering God that we're confident in. And I have a testimony that I can look at when I read the story of David and many others in the scriptures. When I look out here and I know your stories, I know testimonies of what God has done in other people's lives. So when I have a need and when I'm in a situation that is overwhelming and I have an obstacle and a problem that I'm facing, I'm reminded of how God moved in Chris's life, or Myrna's life, or Raylan's life, and I'm encouraged. Oh, God moved in their lives. You know what? He's going to move in my life. So I come to you, God, confident that you're going to hear and answer my prayers. That's how David approached God. We know that God is sitting on the throne in heaven, but he's not aloof and unconcerned about what is happening in your life or in mine. But Rabbi Carol, I always hear those voices in my head when I'm preaching. But Rabbi Carol, you don't know how long I've been walking through this trial. It's been days, months, maybe years. I don't see any release, Rabbi Carol. Friends, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't always understand the timing of God. I have to be honest. You know, I've shared Corrie Ten Boom's quote, you know, God is never late, but he sure misses a lot of opportunities to be early. Anyone ever feel like that besides Corrie and me? So I don't understand. I would say that it's probably one of those things I wouldn't mind asking him when I get to heaven, but I'm sure once I'm there, it's not going to matter. But at this point, it is one of those things like, God, it would have seemed better if you had just moved like, you know, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago. So I don't always understand the timing of God, but I do know that he's faithful. He's a faithful, faithful God. So what I don't understand, and I've said this to people who've come in to me with questions and counseling, and I said, you know, this is what I do to all the things I don't understand. It's like I put them into a little ball and I just put them aside, because there are some things I have no answers to. Even though I'm the rabbi, I don't have answers to everything, spiritually speaking. And so what do? I just put them over there. And as I said, in my mind, I think I would like to know when I get to heaven, at least right now. And I focus on what I do know. And what I do know is God is a faithful God. And I encourage you, never, ever, ever give up. But to persistently call out to God for deliverance. Because he will step into your situation, and what has tormented you for years will become a distant memory. And you'll be saying, wow, remember? When today, all you're feeling is, how long, God? Anyone have any of those wow remembers already in your life? Of course we do. Be persistent. David didn't have one enemy. And those enemies didn't just give up after David resisted once. Think of how many times Saul came against him. My goodness, David was there to comfort him and to, playing the music, and he throws the spear at him. Gee, thanks, Saul. You invited me here. But he continued to cry out to God. Persistent, because he knew God was faithful, because he had seen his faithfulness in delivering him in the past. So even though it may not have taken place immediately, maybe he thought God should have taken care of Saul a lot earlier, David continued to cry out to God, knowing that God was his deliverer. Let's skip down to verses 17 and 18. In these verses, we are encouraged that God rescues us from the most powerful of our enemies. It says, he sent from on high, meaning God. He took me and pulled me out of deep water. Again, that snatching out. And he rescued from my powerful enemy, from those who hated me, for they were stronger than I. Again, I want to remind you and encourage you that as Adonai delivered David, he will deliver you. And no matter how formidable the enemy you are facing seems, and no matter how overwhelming the circumstances of life that you're in, and no matter how powerful the situation is, God is greater. And he's reaching down even now, and I believe this, to pull you out of that situation, out of that deep water that you feel that you are drowning in. The forces that are harassing you might be stronger than you. And that's how David felt. He said it right there. They were stronger than me. But they're not stronger than the one who lives in you. And we are promised, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So that enemy might be stronger than you. And that enemy is sometimes stronger than me. But he ain't stronger than God. Just saying. And God lives in me. And God lives in you. Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 1:4 is where we find that promise. My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won a big victory over those false teachers, for the spirit in you is far greater than anything in the world. So the context of verse 4 is that these false teachers were attacking the people of God in the Kehillah. But the principle of this verse is that the spirit of God that lives in us is greater than any power of darkness. I want to encourage you, you are not strong because of you. I'm not strong because of me. People sometimes say, oh, you're such a strong person, Rabbi Carol. No. God in me is strong. It is God in me who is strong. And I really, really wish I could help many of you to grasp this truth, because you don't. And what I see happen is I see hell slapping you around. Men beating your brains out sometimes. And it doesn't have to be, friends. You need to grasp hold of this truth, that you are more powerful than any force of darkness, than any spirit of fear or anxiety, any trouble coming your way. You are more powerful than it, because he lives in you. I wish I could take that from my Kishkas and put it right into yours, because it is that truth that has sustained me through the many, many years of my walk with God. Not because I thought I was anything great, but because I know that I am powerful because he lives in me. And that no matter how hard hell comes against me or my family, I know that God will ultimately deliver, and that he strengthens me to stand against the attacks of hell. But hell has you believing that you are weak. Those lies that Evan talked about in his Devar Torah. And those lies keep you in bondage. Hell is not only good at placing fear on us, but hell is good at speaking lies. Remember, Yeshua tells us HaSatan is the father of lies. And there is no truth in him whatsoever. But the problem is we often listen to his lies. And when we do, we're not strong. We feel weak. We feel powerless. Anyone feel that way? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to tell you, it's because you're not focusing on the one who is in you. You are powerful. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are powerful. You are stronger than you know. The kids' movie, is that the one you're showing tonight? Junie, you're stronger? It's a movie they're going to watch tonight, the kids. So the sister says they're fighting these evil robot people, kids or whatever, and says to the brother, you're strong, Junie, you're strong. And then it hits the robot, not that strong, Junie, not that strong. But you are that strong, okay? And you are that strong because he lives in you. Who can defeat your God? Come on, tell me. Who can defeat God? Hello? Who can defeat God? Think about that. So if God lives in you, who can defeat you? Say it again. Who can defeat you? If no one can defeat God and God lives in you, then no one can defeat you. So when you feel defeated and when you feel slapped around and walk, you know, it's because you're not standing in this truth that God is in you and that no one can defeat God, therefore no one can defeat you. Selah. Let's look at verses 30 and 34 through 38. Here David tells us why he was able to accomplish the victory over his enemies. And these verses tell us that we possess a God-given ability to defeat the powers of darkness. Verse 30, with you, I can run through a whole troop of men. With my God, I can leap a wall. And just hold, because I have a video, don't click on anything yet after the verses. He makes me swift and sure-footed as a deer and enables me to stand on high places. He trains my hands for war until my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield, which is salvation. Your answers make me great. You lengthen the steps I can take, yet my ankles do not turn. I pursued my enemies and wiped them out without turning back until they were destroyed. I forgot to let them know I have a video, so if you could turn up the sound. Don't hit it yet, Gabe. And hopefully this works. Huh? The sound's in the HDMI. We need the other one in? Could you go slip it in? One moment. Don't hit it yet. I was in a meeting before. I'm sorry. I forgot to... I mean, I could tell you what it says anyway, but... Thank you, my husband, who knows that without that wire, we're not going to hear the sound. After all this, hopefully it works. It's just a clip, about a minute long. Okay, when you're set up, we can give it a try. Faster than a speeding bullet. I wrote it down just in case.
Than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Superman.
And all the kids are like, what was that, Rabbi Carroll? That's black and white. Well, everyone who knows me and my family know we like superheroes. I have to confess, I'm more of a Marvel fan. Don't beat me up. Than I am DC, but Superman is the iconic first, like superhero, right? That there is, and so he's dressed as mild Clark Kent. So I might be just mild little Carol Kalise, but underneath that there is a Superwoman, right? Because greater is he who's in me. So what you see here on the exterior, those glasses and that little suit, was hiding the true identity of Superman. So this outer shell is hiding the true identity that you are a super conqueror through Messiah Yeshua who dwells in you. More than a super conqueror, right? These verses tell us that, see, guys, it's important because, again, I like superheroes, but think about all the superheroes. Can I tell on you, my son? He'll probably get mad at me later, but when my son was younger, he gave all of us superhero powers, right? So mine was a sonic voice, right? It's prophetic. All the people he gave superpowers to, there really was part of their God's calling and the God's giftings. It was just amazing, And then he's got older. You want to take my powers away? I said, you can't take my powers away. He said, I said, well, you can have them too, but you can't take my supersonic voice powers away from me, right? But all of these superheroes that we like, and there's no more new superhero movies coming out till next year, so we have to wait. My family, I see. But with all their special powers in the movies and comics, they're all imaginary. They're not real. They're fun to watch, but they're not real. But the power that you and I possess is very, very real and very effective. And Adonai reminds us today that he has given us those superpowers to overcome the powers of darkness that seek to rob us of his perfect peace and his plan for our lives. These verses tell us that we can run through a troop, we can leap a wall, we can navigate through mountainous terrain like a deer on high places, that Adonai himself has trained our hands for war. Your warrior, even if you don't want to be, too bad, you were recruited by God Almighty. But good news is he strengthens and prepares you. And because of that, we can utterly destroy the enemy that we are facing today through the help of Adonai, who comes to our rescue. So you're not battling alone. Adonai is the commander-in-chief, and he always goes into the battle first. Don't miss these two little words at the beginning of verse 30. With you, right? With you, David says to God, with you, I'm able to do all these things. With God, you can defeat every force of darkness warring against you. Our superpowers are super because Adonai is with us. We can go beyond our human strength and abilities because God is with us. Never, ever forget this truth. You are not alone. Quickly, some scriptures that just, and there's so many that I looked up about God's presence with us, but just to remind you, from Yehoshua, Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Again, with you, God, I've been able to do this. You have superpowers because God is with you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Because he is with us, we have power beyond our humanness and the ability, again, to totally defeat whatever hell stands, sends our way. It takes us to the verse, Romans 8:37, knowing all these things, we are more than super conquerors through Messiah Yeshua, who strengthens us. Friends, you can overcome every obstacle of hell, every strategy, every attack, because you are a super conqueror, because God is with you and God is in you. I want to skip down in my notes to verse 20, Gabe. I don't think it's the next slide. And in this verse, I'm going to close with this. There's so much more in this chapter. I'd encourage you to read it, meditate on this week. But here it tells us that Adonai has prepared a place of freedom for us. David says, you brought me out to an open place. You rescued me because you took pleasure in me. Tehillim 31:8 says, you did not hand me over the enemy, but you set my feet where I can move freely. And this whole concept of an open place, it says that it represents a roomy space. And the one writer of an article on this chapter was talking about how David, when you think about David's life, you know, I mean, we think, oh, he was king, but David spent so much of his life running and hiding. He was often in the caves. And so he's talking about being confined. And when he says that God brought me into this open place, it means he brought me into this place of freedom instead of being confined and hiding out, you know, in a cave. And God wants to encourage all of us today that his purpose is to bring us into that wide open space. And what it means by wide open space, just so you clearly understand, it's just not a place of, you know, like an open meadow, although that's a good imagery, but it's a place where you're free. Free from the obstacles, from the hassles of hell, from the attack of hell, where you're free from anxiety, where you're free from worry. Vayikra, Leviticus 26:6, I will give shalom in the land, and you will lie down to sleep, unafraid of anyone. I will rid the land of wild animals. The sword will not go through your land. That represents the enemies. So this wide open place is a place of peace, a place of contentment, a place of freedom, and a place of his presence. Adonai wants to saturate you and I with his goodness, his strength, and his love. And the key to all of that is found in the last phrase of verse 20. Which says, Adonai takes pleasure in you and me. David said, you did this because you delighted in me. Now that's another whole sermon, that one phrase, in and of itself, and I know that, but I just want to briefly share and encourage you as I close this message this morning, that God delights in each one of you. You are his daughter. You are his son. And he lovingly looks over you. And even when it doesn't seem like it, he is always, always working all things together for your good. As I said earlier, I don't understand the timing of God. But I do know he is faithful. And I do know that even if it doesn't feel that way, and even if it doesn't look that way, he's always working things together for your good. And I want to say to you, he's not like us human parents. I'm doing the best to be the parent that God has asked me to be over my children. Okay, my son is 22, going on 23. I've made a lot of mistakes in the last 22 years. Haven't been the most perfect parent. Okay? I have my own set of foibles. God's not like me as a parent. He's not like my husband. Again, we're doing the best we can. God is perfect in all his ways. And he delights in you as his son, and he delights in you as his daughter. And this is one of those other truths that I really wish I could take and impart into so many of you, because you don't get it. It's not something that you live out, that you, quote, feel or experience the love of God and the acceptance of God of you. He delights in you. He delights in you. Now, we think of this when we have younger children, you know, and of course, the newest addition is Tim and Danyan's daughter, which is not here today, but we have Mira. She's the next newest addition. So whenever these little ones come in, what happens? Forget Tim and Danyan. We don't want to talk to them. We want to see the baby, right? Forget Evan and Reno. No one's worried about them. They want to see Mira. We all take delight in these babies. We rejoice in them. It's exciting. And, oh, look, let's see you, right? God delights in us in the same way. And he never tires when we get older. Some of the older kids are like, yeah, nobody pays attention to me anymore. It's true, right? We move on to the newest baby. But God always delights in us. He loves you as his son and as his daughter. And because he delights in you, he's going to help you overcome every obstacle you're facing in life and lead you into victory. Let's stand to our feet in prayer. So I'm closing by saying you have superpowers because God is with you. Because he delights in you, and with his help you can overcome all of the hassles that the enemy tries to ensnare and entangle you in. You're a super conqueror, you're an overcomer. Like David, what God did for David, it's a testimony. That's why I want you to read that whole chapter. What God did for David, he will do for you. Your situation may be different. You may not be a king sitting on the throne, but you still have an enemy warring against you. And God wants to bring deliverance today. I want to invite my prayer team to come up. This morning we haven't closed by praying over opening up for prayer recently, although a few weeks ago I did pray over someone, but over a few people. But I want the team to come up, please. And I just want us to take time to respond to God's message. One, to receive it as the word of encouragement that it is. But if you need someone to come into agreement about any particular obstacle that you're facing, that the prayer team, yeah, come on, if you're here, come on down while I'm talking, is here to agree and press in with you for the victory that you need to see in your life. And that, you know, God loves you, and any of these truths that we've gone through today, that this prayer team is here to stand in faith and pray with you over this, and that we will, close with the Aaronic benediction in a few minutes. But I just want all of us to take time to respond to the message. If you don't want to come up for prayer, just take time there in your seat to respond. So come on down now as the team begins to minister now. And receive prayer, and I'll come back in a few minutes, and I'll close with the Aaronic benediction, and we'll go into our afternoon of the Sukkah building and things. But allow God to minister to you as the team ministers now.